Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Get healthy. Be healthy. Stay healthy. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
You know, Natasha, every time that I hear the word antacid, I think of when I was much, much younger and my grandparents, you know, they would always carry little antacids in their pockets and they would chew a couple of them and they would say, "Ugh, my gut is acting up again," or "I'm having that heartburn problem." And they would chew these little things. And, you know, all after a period of time, I would see them chewing them all day long. They would maybe work for them the first couple times, but they never made any changes. They never changed what they were eating. They never changed how they were eating. They never ever changed the food they were eating. And as more and more processed foods started to come into their diet and pre-made foods, and as my grandparents and in that age bracket stopped getting away from making their own food because they just thought it was easier to buy things that were already cooked and already made for them, it seems like they were eating 8, 10, 12 of those antacids a day. So it seems like at the very beginning, it might put out the fire. But after that, it really, you have to keep increasing to get any kind of feedback at all. And I think this is kind of across the board.
Well, you know what, Jeff? You could just see the explosion of diseases in our country, chronic diseases, arthritis, autoimmune diseases, and then you take immunosuppressant drugs because your immune system is attacking some part of your body in looking out for a pathogen that might have slipped in. I mean, we are back really in the dark ages. We are already at the point where we have one patient that was diagnosed in the United States where no antibiotic is helping with the infection, and nobody's telling us what the infection is or the infectious organism. And, you know, people have to take responsibility. They can't just blame the drug makers for pushing these drugs or for people prescribing this. I think we have to get to the era of responsibility, of knowing why you take the right probiotic, of knowing why we need standards in probiotics, why we need to understand our digestion, and why we cannot take these quick fixes and expect different results. And you know, really, our insanity has been that we've been doing the same thing for maybe 40 years and now we're expecting different results. When the crux of the health food industry has always been to improve digestion and to teach people how to improve their digestion by stopping some of their what we call ill-founded practices and what they were doing to their digestive tract. So having said that, let me just, you know, give you a highlight. If you are taking these proton pump inhibitors such as Prilosec, Prevacid, Nexium, or anything of that, and it's been prescribed with your doctor, sit down and consult and say, "Well, I have heard that the PPIs have a number of side effects, which include, but not limited to, kidney disorder and acute intestinal nephritis, and increased risk of developing kidney disease, a twofold increase, meaning double increase, in cardiovascular mortality and other heart risks, increased risk of fractures of the hip, wrist, and spine." And why is that? Because when you don't have enough acidity, you can't break down, you know, minerals such as calcium and magnesium, which improves, you know, bone health. And, you know, taking the right probiotics and taking mineral and vitamins important for bone health may help this, but you got to stop with the, you know, proton pump inhibitors. And it's the proton pump inhibitors can disturb the ability to absorb certain vitamins and minerals. And remember what I told you in the last segment, stomach acid is important for your body to absorb vitamin B12. Now, we know how important B12 is. And so if you've been taking the PPIs for two or more years, you have a 65% increase risk of vitamin B12 deficiency. And what does vitamin B12 deficiency lead to? It's linked to anemia, nerve damage, psychiatric problems, and even dementia. So you can see there's a plethora of problems that develop when people don't think about how they can restore their digestion. And I tell them that they can take their probiotics along with their, you know, medication in hoping to improve the digestibility of their food so that they can wean themselves off of the antacid medication, which is really the objective of every person who's on these drugs. And I think that you can make up your mind that, you know, by having better digestion, by introducing the proper probiotic supplementation and stop eating the pizza at 10 o'clock late at night while you're sitting watching television and just, you know, wolfing down the pizza without even chewing every bite. You know, you have to take, I mean, all of us individually have to take some responsibility for the things that are happening to us.
You know, when our gut is in distress and we're feeling this discomfort and, you know, and we're in our mind searching for a way to get rid of it, I wonder if people really know what's happening inside their gut at that point in time. I mean, what is actually going on that's making them feel so miserable in the gas and the bloating and the heartburn? And, you know, people say, my stomach's talking to me, you know, and it literally is talking to you. It's probably screaming at you. But what is going on within the gastric digestive system when it is out of balance? I mean, what's happening to the food that they're eating at the time they're eating it, maybe an hour later? And what's happening when there's nothing in the stomach?
Well, you know, you've heard that term, the angry gut.
Yes.
Well, the gut does get angry because here's what you're doing to it. Remember I mentioned in the earlier segment about ingestion, about chewing your food and how digestion starts with you chewing your food, not just wolfing it down and swallowing it whole. So when you get it down into the stomach, the acid in the stomach, its job is to break down the food into smaller particles that can be readily absorbed into the bloodstream. So if the particles are not the right size, what happens is the immune system will overreact and cause an inflammatory condition that may lead to unpleasant things such as arthritis. So when the body breaks down the nutrients from food and drink into macronutrients, which meaning larger size nutrients, and micronutrients, which means smaller size nutrients, then the body can readily engage in the proper absorption. So your macronutrients are carbs, fats, and proteins. So carbohydrates include sugar, starch, and fiber. And depending on their chemical structure, carbohydrates can be simple, natural sugars from fruits, vegetables, and dairy, or complex, such as starches from grains. So the body uses fat as a rich source of energy, and fat also helps the body absorb vitamins. So you have meat, eggs, and beans contain protein, which is an important building block of bones, cartilage, muscle, skin, and blood. And digestion, proper digestion, I should add, breaks down proteins into smaller amino acid molecules that can easily move through the walls of the small intestine into the bloodstream, which carries them throughout the body. Now, this is the complex, you know, composition. And so then your micronutrients, such as vitamins and minerals, play a variety of roles in the body's growth and health. And scientists categorize vitamins according to the fluid in which the vitamins dissolve. So all of your B vitamins and your C vitamins are water soluble. So that means that your body can't store them. And if they're not properly obtained from the food that's digested, they're washed out either in your feces or your urine. So you're not doing your body a lot of help. And vitamins such as A, D, E, and K are fat soluble. And the body can store this in the fat if they are broken down correctly. So you see, there's a lot of factors here that are affected by improper digestion in the stomach. Now, I want all of you to have this visual. When you have a low amount of stomach acid, what happens is that undigested food particles are then dumped into your small intestine, which cannot complete the digestive process. And those undigested molecules of food become direct food for the bacteria that's in your gut, or the bacteria that you've swallowed with your food now has an open field to start causing trouble, to compete with parking spaces on your intestinal wall, which will disrupt your immune system and will disrupt absorption, so your body will not be fueled. It may be fed, but not fueled, and cause the host of problems which you don't even consider. And this can be going on for weeks until all of a sudden something hits you, and then all of a sudden you're diagnosed with a disease, and you have no clue that what you have done for weeks or perhaps years has led to the very condition now that you have to take more drugs to control because you didn't listen to your body in the first place.
You know, the other thing is, you know, it is part of the process to listen to our bodies. And I hate to say this, but I really do think that there's a big portion of us out there that have glamorized our food to such a level that we just don't want to give up those foods that are actually causing most of the problems. The idea of having to give up their favorite go-to, you know, best friend foods that we love so much, and we find out we have to give this stuff up. It's not really even food in many instances. You know, give me something that'll allow me to have that cake and eat it too and enjoy my food. They don't want to give it up. And there's a strong relationship. Food has changed so dramatically. It's no longer about, you know, eating food to live and survive. It's about living to eat those foods.
Yeah, and the food is very addictive. We all know that. The more highly processed the food is, it's addictive. And guess why it's addictive? Because the very bacteria in your gut are secreting chemical messengers to the rest of your body that is making you crave the very food that is bad for you. So when you get to that point, you've got a big problem now, because now it's affecting your mood, and you're literally addicted to this just like you would be to a drug. I mean, sugar addictions are a known fact, and simple carbohydrates are addictions. Like, some people can't get through the day unless they have two or three what I call simple carbohydrate fixes, whether it be a can of soda. And people think they were getting away by using artificial sweeteners, but let me assure you that the artificial sweeteners, even though they don't have calories, they're affecting the composition of your microbiota, just like the sugary drinks. So, you know, we've been sold a bill of goods that we want to adopt because it feels good and we have plenty on our plate that we can eat. And we are then holding everybody else responsible except ourselves for developing these bad habits, and then are taking multiple drugs to control the symptoms that become part of this problem. And, you know, this is true insanity. I mean, without you listening to your body, you're going to get into trouble. And the most offensive thing to me is when people say, well, you know, I've been on a PPI product for 5 years, but guess what? I'm a vegan, so I guess I'm not in trouble because I'm not consuming meat products. And I look at them and I said, have you looked at the latest stats that the highest rate of, you know, microbial contamination is found in vegetables and fruits? And you're telling me that, you know, you're avoiding meats and you're taking an acid blocker and you're ingesting vegetables, so you think you're not harming your body? Think again, because all those bacteria that are not allowed into your body, and you don't have this barrier of the stomach acid to protect you, and you're not taking a reliable probiotic, what do you think is going to happen to you? You know, and then all of a sudden, people are shocked because they get an autoimmune disease, which is directly linked to these PPI, you know, products that they've been consuming for 5 or more years.
It's a very frustrating conundrum that we put ourselves into, and I think the way that we've created these relationships with food. And we're in a hurry, and we eat on the go, and we don't chew our food well, and we eat around every occasion. We never even wait till we're really hungry anymore. We're just eating to eat, to eat, to eat, to eat, and we're paying the price. And isn't it true, Natasha, this is no longer an older age geriatric problem? It's not just afflicting our older citizens of this country. It's affecting people in all age brackets, down to the teenagers.
Well, now, even earlier than that,
that's
Jeffrey,
true.
I think I mentioned in some of our shows earlier that
that's very true.
Digestive problems from both the mother and the father are visited upon the child. And now I hear stories of 4-month and 6-month old babies being given, you know, some kind of an acid suppressant drug because they have projectile vomiting. And that was probably the most horrifying thing I ever heard. And I couldn't believe that, you know, doctors are so ignorant of not knowing how they're disturbing the function of the microbiota and the microbiome. And remember, when you disturb that microbiome, which is responsible for 99% of our genetic expression, you're turning on or off millions of genes by suppressing stomach acid and taking those drugs. And I think if people understood what they're doing, then they would try to find out, okay, you're going to give your child some medicine to stop the problem, but what is the long-term solution that you have to engage in to get the child back on track, get the teenager or the adult or the elderly person back on track so that they're not taking this medication that is disrupting the most vital function in your body, which is digestion, absorption, assimilation, and defecation. And if people don't understand that, then they're, how should I say, entitled to live the joys of having a serious disease.
Yeah. You know, I must hear from somebody almost every day. You know, we start talking about, you know, the things that they're using and the medication they're using, and the topic comes up with almost every one of them. I have a really bad stomach. I have a bad digestive system, and, you know, vitamins don't sit well for me, and the food I eat upsets my stomach. And we start talking about digestive enzymes and a quality probiotic, and they're like, well, no, I don't use those. And I use things for acid, and I use something to cover it up, and I use a lot of antacids. And I'm thinking to myself, and how do you feel? And every one of them say, well, I feel terrible. And I think to myself, how long do you have to keep doing this before we decide to take control? But they're not getting the suggestions from the people that they're working with that they're telling that they have a problem in the first place. It's not even coming in to the conversation. So they're using what they know.
Well, exactly. And most people don't put two and two together that, you know, the function of your liver can be disruptive to your sleep patterns. Now, how many people do you know have to take, you know, drug medication for lack of sleep? Now, I'm not saying this is the only cause for sleep disorders, but I'm saying that we should eliminate the prospect of that, the fact that your liver now is burdened with cleaning up toxins coming in from the portal vein, from your large intestine, more so than it has to, because you've disrupted the flora in your small intestine, which then disrupts the flora in your large intestine, and the colon is part of the large intestine. And that's sending in more toxins to the liver, which controls your circadian rhythm and is causing sleep disruptions. You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, take care of their digestive ills and find out that they can sleep much better than before they took that action.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing about it is, Natasha, you'll be the first to say, you know, if we change our diet and we're drinking the right fluids and we're managing our stress and we're doing some kind of exercise, and if we're reestablishing these quality probiotics and putting them back in there, you're going to feel better. And it's not a cover up. It's an actual getting the body back in touch, back in shape, back in sync. And it's dramatically life-changing. And, you know, the stories of the people that have got off that merry-go-round and those revolving doors of antacids and proton pump inhibitors will be the first to tell you, I wish I would have done it sooner.
Absolutely. And a lot of times people don't know that heartburn drugs are only treating the symptom, not addressing the root cause of heartburn, which may be for some, like a hiatal hernia, or an H. pylori inflammation in the stomach. Did you know that the Japanese have the highest rate of stomach cancer, and that's because that the largest portion of their population is infected with H. pylori, which, by the way, is found probably in 50 to 60% of the people in our country. Now, when the H. pylori is managed by proper microbial balance in the gut, then it doesn't manifest its disease-causing properties. But when it's allowed to overgrow and form alliances with yeast, it sort of gets itself into protective pockets that's very difficult for the immune system to attack. And you really need other smart bacteria to start attacking it in order to minimize its growth and influence on the body. And to tell you how pervasive this H. pylori is, in my previous lectures that I used to do on a TV show, I used to show large charts showing populations going back 11,000 years, and that we could trace their migratory pattern by the H. pylori that was found in their, you know, DNA.
Mm. You know, today the choices that we have at our fingertips are vast. We have so many things and rows and aisles of things in the drugstore, but are we really doing ourselves any good, or are we just covering up the problem? I think we're covering up the problem. We need to get to the source of exactly what we need to start focusing on. We need to ask questions of people that have the knowledge and the expertise to lead us in the right direction. And we also have to remind ourselves every single day that we didn't get in this mess every day overnight. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this and all my segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. I thank you for listening, and stay well.